A matter of time and money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Monday morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. Well, U.S. home sales were bound to bounce back a little eventually, as long as prices kept dropping. So how you feel about this morning's new home sales report probably depends which side of the transaction you're on. Sales of new homes went up unexpectedly last month, 2.7%, and new home prices went down, expectedly, to the lowest level in 4 years. Stock prices on Wall Street have been up and down today. The Dow is now off 27 points. The NASDAQ is down 18 points, and that's over 1%. The S&P 500 down 9 points, or about 1%. Major European markets have been well off today, 2 to 4%. And I can't put off talking about Asia any longer. Markets there got shellacked. Hong Kong off 12%. Japan down 6% to its lowest point in 26 years. Hugh Johnson is manager of Johnson Illington Advisors. Hugh, Japan is suffering for its own currency. Why is the yen so awfully strong now?
For years now, with interest rates being very low and attractive, investors have borrowed from Japan at very low rates to buy securities around the world. But now that's reversed. Now everybody's scared of any market around the world. So they're kind of cashing in. They're selling securities in Brazil. They're selling securities in the U.S. They're selling securities in Europe and turning around, going back to Japan and cashing in, taking that money and paying off their loans, which creates a downward pressure on the dollar and upward pressure on the yen.
Why should our listeners, why should Americans be concerned with Japan's currency problems?
Your listeners, our listeners, have not only seen the dollar decline against Japanese currencies, but they've seen the Australian dollar do it, New Zealand dollar. They've seen currencies in other parts of the world. And let's remember, the U.S. investors have been big lovers of investing in developed countries and emerging countries. And they get clobbered just like anybody else. If they buy or if they have bought, say, something in Australia or something in Brazil or something in India.
Okay, so our Federal Reserve is watching these currency fluctuations. The Fed is also expected to cut interest rates again this week. But this is a global economy. How much can our government really help the U.S. economy now?
Well, that's a good question. Will the Federal Reserve, what they're doing and what the Treasury is doing, will it work? Nobody knows. My experience has been that sooner or later it does work, but unfortunately later is something we really don't want to play around with.
Hugh Johnson is manager of Johnson Illington Advisors. Hugh, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Prices for corn and soybeans hit record highs over the summer, but lately they've fallen, right along with other commodities. Corn prices are half what they were in June. But Marketplace's Steve Henn tells us you may not have noticed this on your grocery bill.
In the era of ethanol, corn isn't just a food, it's a transportation fuel that tracks the price of oil. Bruce Babcock's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University.
Corn has fallen in almost lockstep with the price of crude oil.
When oil was up around $150 a barrel, a bushel of corn cost around $7.50. Now it's less than half that.
This certainly is a very good news for developing countries where they eat a lot of corn and they're importing a lot of corn from the U.S.
Corinne Alexander is an economist at Purdue. She says U.S. consumers may not see prices drop in grocery stores so quickly. Babcock agrees.
There's a significant lag into supermarket prices.
Grain prices are just a small part of the cost of most processed foods in the U.S. And high prices for grains this summer may mean U.S. meat prices will continue to rise through Christmas. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Even in this time of anxiety, you know, some people actually have confidence in the U.S. economy. Japanese banks have bought stakes in our investment banks. Sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East have invested here. But what about that Goliath of growth, China? They're sitting on massive reserves of cash. What are they doing with it? Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong from Shanghai.
Should China swoop in like a superhero and save the world from the clutches of recession? After all, Beijing's $1.9 trillion in foreign reserves would go a long way toward bailouts or investments just when the market needs them. Ask around Shanghai, and Mr. Feng, the noodle shop owner, says bad idea.
We have our own problems, and why rescue evil America? It sticks its nose in our political business.
In the other corner, MBA student Lin Yang.
The financial system is like the human heart. If it has problems, eventually the rest of the body will too. The U.S. is the world's heart. If it suffers, it will spread to China.
So what would rescue actually mean? First, let's get one thing clear. China is already massively in the U.S. market. It's invested hundreds of billions of dollars in treasury bonds. The question is whether Beijing gets out of those bonds and into American stocks. Michael McCormack is with the financial consultancy ZBen Advisors. He expects China to diversify slowly, since this money has to be around for 50, even 100 years.
These sovereign wealth funds were created to fund the future retirement needs for the population. It's the rainy day money. You don't gamble with the rainy day money.
China has other reasons to be gun-shy. It wants to step softly to avoid political heat from Washington. And Beijing is new at this. Last year, it invested $8 billion in Morgan Stanley and private equity giant Blackstone. Both those stocks have lost more than 50%. Frank Song teaches finance at Hong Kong University. He thinks China's risk aversion means it will get in late.
You may lose a lot of opportunities, but stability outweighs profitable return.
So don't crane your neck looking for a financial superman.
That's Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.